This is Phil Ferrand, and I am driving home. It's Friday! Woohoo! And as is my habit, I'm leaving a little bit early from my client. I have one major client. They have been very, very good to me. I'm a computer consultant, and I've been with them for, it's been 10 years now, and every time I finish one project, they just find something else for me to do, which is really very nice, and they always pay their bills, so I am blessed. But the other part of my life is that I'm an author. For 5 years, about 10 years ago, for 5 years, I actually made my living as an author. And I finally got tired of not doing that anymore, so I decided, you know, it's time to just pull things out and start putting them out the door. Because as an author, I had all of these books stacked up in my head, and I wasn't doing anything with them. And it finally got to the place where they just refused to sit down and be quiet any longer, because sometimes that's what you do as an author. You know, you tell those characters that are bouncing around in your head, you tell them, shh, it's okay, just not right now, shh, sit down, be quiet. But of course, sometimes they just refuse to be quiet. So I've started to pull the projects off the shelf, put them out the door. You can read more about it on my website. But as part of that, the world has certainly changed for being an author. It's really an amazing time to be a writer because you have so many tools that are available to you now with your own websites and being able to self-publish and all of that. And everyone that I read came up with the same bit of advice that if you're going to be an author in this day and age, you really need to communicate with people once a week, write a blog, do something. And I wasn't doing any of that, and I could see the wisdom in that. Because there's only so many people that I can interact with on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, and I'll talk about that in just a second. But, you know, those five or six people are probably not going to be able to support my habit of wanting to be a writer. So if I'm going to get more people into the fold or make more friends or possibly extend my influence at all, then certainly I need to do something else. I considered for a while writing a blog, but the problems with the blog is, as the famous person was quoted as saying, writers are those for whom writing is more difficult than for everyone else. And frankly, if I was going to write a blog, it would take me hours and hours, and I don't have hours and hours. But yesterday, as I was going out to my car, there was a little whisper that said, you know, you do have a 20-minute drive between your house and your client. And I said, yes, I do. And so I thought, I'll just try this yesterday. And I got in my car as I left my house, and I started talking, and I didn't have any trouble at all flapping my gums for 20 minutes. So I'm hoping that the road noise is not too much. If it is, I am going to have a clip-on microphone that I can use after this, but this was one of those things that we just did it very quickly. We're starting it up, so hopefully if the road noise is bad, rest assured, next week we will hopefully take care of that. And I probably can say hopefully a couple of more times. Anyways, that makes this episode one. And in episode one, I should at least talk about a few definitions, because what we'll find is that I will use three words over and over and over again as I'm talking about my life, talking about the lives of others, things that are happening in others' lives. Those three words are epic, quest, and adventure. And I'll use them interchangeably. And I have for some time been telling people, you know, you need to find out what your epic is, you need to find out what your quest is, what your adventure is. Part of my epic, my quest, is to be a writer. I love telling stories. I love telling stories that have some meaning to them. And when I started writing and I finally put it in enough time that I got to the place where I felt like I was a good writer, I realized that that was the only thing that I wanted to do the rest of my life. Now, obviously, I'm a computer consultant now. I have to do some other things to pay the bills, but that can't stop me from being a writer. I will be a writer no matter what. And one of the ways that I've tried to define for friends as we've talked about what is a quest and what is an epic, what is an adventure, is that the epic of your life is that thing which only you can do. The epic and quest of your life is that thing that if you do not do it, it won't be done. And there will be a gap in the world waiting for you to do it. And finally, your epic and your adventure is that thing that no one, under normal circumstances, can stop you from doing. You know, okay, granted, somebody could come and kill you and stop you from doing it that way, but under normal circumstances, the epic and quest of your life is that thing that no one can stop you from doing. The only way it won't be done is if you don't do it. And part of my epic is to be a writer. Part of my epic is not to be a published writer who has millions of readers whose books are being turned into movies. I mean, because I can't control that. What I can control is what I write. And so, in addition to being a computer consultant, I go home every day, almost every day, and I make time to write. I write on Monday nights, I write on Tuesday nights, I write on Wednesday nights, unless something else comes up. I write on Thursday nights, take a break on Friday, write on Saturdays, I write on Sundays, and I start back up on Mondays, and I do it all again. Because that's part of my epic. And I find a great deal of joy in my epic. What I've also found as part of my epic is to open up the channels of communications with others, share my life with others, in turn have them share their lives with me, because I have found that that makes my life rich. And so over the course of a given week, I have 6 standing appointments with various people, and we get together and share a meal together, and we talk. And most of what I'll be talking about in these podcasts are things that we talk about. Just reflections on life, odd thoughts that we've had, share experiences. This was a good week. This week, while I had 6 standing appointments, 2 of them had to be delayed for one reason or another, but I actually replaced them with 2 others. On Tuesday, I get together with a couple of young fathers, and we talk about life and families and work and those kind of things. We always go to Bob Evans, and we like to frequent the same restaurant over and over because that gives us a chance to get to know the wait staff. I tend away from the terminology waitress because I think it has a lot of connotations, and so I will refer to the wait staff. And so just know that when I say wait staff, it usually means waitress, even though it can mean waiter. We had a wait staff that day, last Tuesday, that we had seen in the past. We had had a chance to talk to her in the past and visit with her, but we hadn't seen her in a while because she had a daughter. Has a daughter who goes to school, and so she can't be in that early because we get together for 6:30 at breakfast. But we have a philosophy wherever we go to eat, and the philosophy is that we always treat the wait staff like real people. That means that when they come by, we stop talking about whatever we're talking about. We look at them. We thank them when they fill our glasses. If there's an opportunity to have any kind of an extra conversation with them, we do that. In fact, when people go out to eat with me for the first couple of times, it's a little disorienting for them because we'll be talking about some deep subject, and right in the middle of it, the wait staff will come up and fill our glasses, and I will stop and talk to them for a while and just completely change the subject, talk to them for a while, and then when they walk off, I'll pause, look back at my companion, start talking about whatever we were talking about before the wait staff came up. And it does disorient some people. I have one buddy that I go out with that for a while there, every time I do that, he'd just laugh and shake his head and say, "Man, I have no idea how you do that." He said, because if I was interrupted like that, I couldn't ever remember what in the world I was talking about. But, you know, it comes with a little bit of practice. So anyways, Tuesday, where our wait staff is doing an excellent job taking care of us, and we're talking about the things of the Lord and just life in general. And at one point, she comes up and she said something along the lines of, "Well, now, here's a kind of man upstairs story for you." And so we all paused and said, "Oh, okay." And she leaned into the booth a little bit to lean against it, and that was my cue, and so I bounced into the interior of the booth because there was no one sitting beside me, and she sat down beside us. And she started to tell us that her stepmother was in need of a kidney transplant, and she had told them, I'll give you one of my kidneys. And she starts telling us this story about how she has to get blood tests done and how her daughter is worried about this. And her daughter actually told her, but you're going to be in the hospital for 45 years, you know. And she's telling her daughter, no, no, it's going to be okay. And the whole time she's talking to us, I'm thinking, why is she telling us this? And it really didn't take a rocket scientist to figure it out. She was nervous. She wasn't sure what was going to come ahead. She hadn't had the blood test yet, so she didn't know. Okay, maybe she wasn't qualified, but if she was, she had already told them she was going forward with it. And she was thinking about it now, and thinking about her daughter. And it gave her a chance to sit down and talk with some people that instinctively she knew that we cared for her. And so we talked for a while with her. And then my buddy, he was quick on the trigger. The Holy Spirit had actually nudged me about it a little bit, and I wasn't quite fast enough, but he was. He said, well, why don't we just pray about it? So here, Bob Evans, at, I don't know, 7:15 in the morning, we've got a member of the wait staff at our table, and we're praying for her and asking God to give her wisdom, asking God to give her courage, asking God to help her to know the path she should take in this, you know, asking God to help her daughter be calmed and to know that everything was okay. And it was a wonderful moment. After our wait staff left, my buddy who suggested we prayed, he looked at us and he said, how does that happen? He said, we're just three guys sitting here having a conversation, and she just walks up to us and starts having a conversation with us about something that's very deeply personal to her. And I said, well, you know, I think a couple of things are going on here. You know, first of all, we treat her like a human being. And mostly, I said, it's spirit to spirit. There's something in her spirit that can sense spirit. And so we talk. And my buddy, who was the one that suggested we pray, he's actually in the trucking business. He moves loads. You know, somebody needs to move something from point A to point B, and so he posts it, and then he recruits drivers, and the drivers then move it, you know, from point A to point B, and he takes a cut at it. But this guy is working in the trucking business. I mean, this guy is down deep in the middle of human emotions and anger and, you know, all I've got to make a living, all that stuff all day long. He's deep in the bowels of what I'd call the flesh. You know, of people pinging and arguing and yelling. And he's making a living down there. Because that's part of his epic. Not necessarily just to make a living, but he told us this story. I think it was last week. He said that he was going to work with a driver, called up, said he'd take a load. And then he could never get in touch with the driver. And he kept trying to get in touch with him. He eventually gave the load to somebody else. But he was going to schedule the driver with another load. But he couldn't get in touch with him. Finally, somehow, he remembered that he had the driver's wife's cell phone. And so he called her up. And he talked to her about it. And in the process of the conversation, she said, well, she said, I need to tell you this. She said, my husband has a drug problem. He took a $3,000 advance on a job, and he ended up throwing a big party down on the bay, and I don't know what went on at the party, and he went through the money. And my buddy said, well, would you mind if I prayed with you? And she said, no. And so he prayed with her, asked God to help her know, you know, the path to take, what to do. Afterwards, she said, you know, she said, I've got a couple of relatives who are Christians, and she said, I've got some neighbors that are Christians, and she said, none of them have ever offered to pray with me. And I looked at my buddy and I said, that's epic, man. And he said, yes, it is, because if he wasn't there, it wouldn't be done. So it was a good meal. We had a wonderful meal Wednesday night as well. We had some new friends. Took them to Lambert's Cafe, for those of you who are from the Ozarks. If not, you can look it up on the web. It's a fun place. They had never seen anything like it. These friends of ours were from Wisconsin. I started a little internet service provider business about 2 years ago now, because I got tired of not having high-speed internet. So I put up a little tower and got some subscribers, and one of them worked for a company who's, and they paid for the internet. The company actually paid for the internet. Well, the lady whose card I would charge every month for this internet, she was up in Wisconsin, up in Superior, I think, Wisconsin. And I had finished up Still Whispers, which was the book that I wrote for this Christmas. And I was giving them to my subscribers, and a little thought came to me and said, you know, you should really send one up to Cindy. And so I sent one up to Cindy. And she was very, very thankful for it. She said, oh, she said, I really enjoyed the book. Thank you so much for sending it. Unbeknownst to me, she and her husband and her sister and her brother and the six of them are planning a vacation to Branson, Missouri, all around the same time. And she said she was reading through my book and she went, wait a minute, Phil lives in Springfield, Missouri. So she wrote me and said, so are you close to Branson, Missouri? And I said, yeah, we're only about 40 minutes away. She said, is there any way we could get together for a meal? I said, yeah, that'd be great. So we got together with some friends. We had never met them before, but we had a wonderful time together, and I had a feeling this is going to be a birth of a great new friendship. I mean, it's going to be a long-distance friendship, obviously, since they're in Wisconsin and we're down here. But there's going to be some wonderful communion that's going to go on between us over the next few years. And it only happened because I started an internet service provider business, because I needed high-speed internet. And I also really wanted to find a way to serve my neighbors. And I had this thought, this little whisper that said, you should send a book to this lady that you don't even know. Who, it turns out, she said the book came into her life at just the right time. And out of that, they were planning a vacation, the first they had taken in like 33 years, to a place that just happened to be 40 miles from me. So it was fun. It was a good week. This week, one of the topics of discussion that we've had comes out of the television show Medium. My wife rents the DVDs of TV shows so that she could skip over the commercials. And she was watching Medium. And they had some special features on the end of it. And I came strolling through the living room at one point on my way downstairs to do some more writing. And she said, you should watch this. This is very interesting. And so she powered up the special features. And as part of the special features, they had the background on the woman on whom the series Medium is based. I think her name is Alison Dubois. My wife knows, my wife Lynette, she knows I'm very, very interested in this kind of thing, because I definitely believe that God has built certain engines into the world. He's built the engine of gravity and electromagnetic energy. I think God's a great, great designer. The world is a testament to his design. But I also think that he's built more than that into this world. I think there are engines in this world for faith and for supernatural occurrences. And I think God loves people enough. And he's passionate enough about knowing people that he doesn't necessarily need them to have all their syntax correct before he's willing to be a part of their lives. For example, Jesus, when he was on earth, went to the Pool of Bethesda. At the Pool of Bethesda, you have a situation where, according to the record that we have, an angel comes down and troubles the waters, and whoever gets in first gets healed. Now, I don't know about you, but this is not my typical definition of the way God does things. An angel comes down, stills the water, whoever gets to get in first gets healed. That doesn't seem fair at all. And yet, the biblical record gives us every indication that this is the way it works. I heard one preacher give me the best explanation that I've heard of this. What he said was, the way he thinks about it is that Israel had not had a prophet for 400 years. And so God was even willing to become the little bubbles in the ocean. The little bubbles in the pool, sorry. if there was any way for him to keep alive the idea of the supernatural in people's minds. And I very much think that God does that in the world, that God finds ways of keeping the idea of the supernatural alive in them. And so he's willing to manifest himself, he's willing to manifest the supernatural in people that don't necessarily call Jesus their Lord, that may not even believe in him, but he's still willing to reach to them because he knows at the very least, if they acknowledge the supernatural, they're one step closer to him. And so I always listen when I see specials, features on holy men or on anything spiritual. I always listen to see what they have to say and to try to figure out, okay, what of that in there is their flesh? What of that in there is spirit? What of that in there is enemy? Because I definitely believe in enemy. The rumbling sound that you are hearing is my gravel driveway, so I'm almost home, but I'll make this quick. Who knows? I may just sit in my garage and finish this up. Anyway, so I'm listening to her, and she's talking about the experiences that she's had growing up. She's talking about how that one day when her girlfriend was coming over, if I can remember the story right, her girlfriend is coming over and she hears this little voice that tells her, move your bed. And so out of the clear blue, she rearranges the furniture in her bedroom and she moves her bed from one wall to another. And when her friend comes over, her friend kind of looks around and she says, you've moved your bed. I'm getting my mail, by the way, at the moment. And she says, yes, I've moved my bed. And her friend says, why? And she says, I don't know. A little voice told me to move my bed. So she moves her bed. She goes out with her friend. She comes home. She goes to bed. That night, a pickup truck jumps the curb, comes into her house, comes through the wall of her bedroom into the exact spot where her bed has been. And I think, okay, that is something that sounds familiar. And then she started telling the story about her dad and how that, in her words, God had told her that her dad was going to die at the age of 67 from a massive heart attack. And she said that she did everything in her power to keep that from happening. Said she tried to get him to exercise, tried to get him to eat better. And despite everything she did, he died anyways at 67 of a massive heart attack. And she said, I was mad at God after that. She said, I was mad at him for a long time. She said, one day she was having a conversation and she said, what good does it do for you to tell me all this stuff if I can't change anything? And if I recall correctly, she said she heard God speak to her, or heard something in her spirit whisper that said, if I hadn't told you, you wouldn't have had the last 2 years. And at that moment, as I listened to her, I thought, that's the Jesus I know. That's the compassion of the God I know. And maybe she doesn't call him Lord. Maybe she has a whole other religious outlook on life. But you know what? God is big enough, and God loves enough, and God is desirous enough of a relationship with us that he's willing to work within our definitions if it will just keep open the idea that he's out there. I've made it home. I hope you have a great weekend. I'll be back next week, and hopefully our sound will be a little bit better. Have a great day.